You may be seated. Be thou my vision. Let me see the way you see. Let me think the way you think. That's what you just sang. That's the invitation that we have through our faith to enter into Christ's mind, to enter into Christ's presence so that the world looks different. It's not through our eyes, but through other eyes, through his eyes, through eyes that see differently than what we see. One of my favorite things that happens here from time to time is when Joan has the children write me notes. Every now and then, sometimes for my birthday, sometimes for pastor appreciation, sometimes just for the heck of it, I don't know, I get this stack of notes that during Sunday school, the children wrote all kinds of little things, and I love reading through every one of them just to see the artwork that they do and the words that they put on. It's kind of fun. But I haven't received yet the ones that, like the ones I read about. There's a pastor in Omaha, Nebraska, a United Methodist pastor, who wrote about some cards he got from the children in his church. And they were looking at the world a little bit differently, or looking at church a little bit differently than he was able to do. There was one that was obviously from a realtor in training. Her name was Loretta. She was 9 years old. She wrote, "Pastor, I think more people would come to church if we were to move it to Disneyland." It's all about location. There was another one who I think was a budding academic who wrote a note that said, "Reverend, thank you for your sermon. I'll write more about it when my mom explains it to me." And then there was another one that said, "Reverend, I like to come to church because I don't have any choice." That, I think, was a lawyer in training. Someone experienced with law. Law bothers us a little bit. When Jesus says, "I've come not to abolish the law," we shrink a little bit. "Oh, come on, Jesus, get rid of it. We don't really need a law. We just want to go with our feelings. We just want to go with our heart." I heard a preacher once say, "I always get nervous when people say, just follow your heart. Because if their heart's anything like my heart, it sounds like a bad committee meeting going on in there. All these different ideas, all these different choices, all these possibilities, and I'm liable to go the wrong way if I just follow my heart." We need the structure of the law, some argue, in order to keep us on track, to know where the boundaries are. That's how Paul describes the law when he writes his letters. He says it confines us, it constrains us, it shows us how far off we are. It's a taskmaster, it's a teacher that calls us back to the center, to where Christ would have us be. And so Jesus, in this Sermon on the Mount, when he's just about to help us figure out how we're supposed to live together, he says, "I've come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it." Fulfill it. What exactly does that mean when he said that? "I've come to fulfill the law." Some argued over the centuries that what that meant was Jesus already did it. So we don't have to follow the law. After all, Jesus did it for us. He followed the law. That seems not exactly right to me. Others say he fulfilled the penalty of the law, the punishment of the law, with his death and his resurrection. It was a prophecy about what was going to happen. But it seems to me that there's something more going on here in this invitation when Jesus says, "I've come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it." He says the law is not going to disappear. Not one word, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter. I like the Old Testament, the King James Version of that. You know, you remember that. Not one jot or tittle. Just because I like saying tittle, I think. I don't know. A jot was the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet, the letter yod. It looks like an apostrophe. That's it. That's a letter. Just a little thing like that. The tittle, then, was the little stroke at the end of the letter. A number of letters in Hebrew, I learned this because that's what kept stumbling my way through learning of Hebrew. There's so many letters that look almost exactly alike except for just a little line. They're the same except for one little extra thing tucked on it. Sort of like, we might say, a A C and a G is close to the same, except for the extra little bit. That's a tittle in there. Jesus is exacting with his following of the law. He says, I'm not getting rid of anything. If anything, he goes on to say, I'm adding to it. Can you do that? Can you add to the law? He says, you've heard it said, don't kill your brother. Okay, I've managed to follow that one. But I say to you, don't be angry at your brother. Yikes. I've got brothers. Surely he didn't mean my brothers. Maybe he meant his brothers. Don't be angry at his brothers. It seems like he's asking too much. You've heard it said, don't commit adultery. But I say to you, if you look lustfully, you've already committed adultery in your heart. This is too hard, Jesus. You're drawing the lines even tighter. We don't have any elbow room. We don't have any space to maneuver. We're not able to take a step out of line, or this law comes crashing down on our heads. I've come not, he says, to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And then why does he shift from how we live together in community into worship? Why does he move so quickly, so easily, as if they were two sides of our same experience, between living in human community and raising our voices in worship to God? It's almost as if he's saying, I can sum up the whole law in two words. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the law that I've come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Love the Lord your God. I think that when we read these verses in chapter 6 about how we're supposed to worship, I think we need to remember that we're in a different place than the people he was first talking to were. They were the people who liked to make a show of their worship. And so Jesus said to them, pull it back. Pull it in. It's not about the show. It's not about proving how good you are. This is like in the old days. I don't know how old. Sometimes I'm embarrassed to admit how old I am. But you remember, there was a time when belonging to a church was considered a status symbol. And belonging to the right church, an even higher status symbol. And so we would put that down. Well, I'm a member of Aldersgate United Methodist Church. Ooh, there's something special about that. Well, there isn't any more status in that. If anything, people go, really? You're still clinging to that ancient institution? Don't you think it's time to let it go? I think we're in a different world than the one Jesus spoke to when it comes to the worship sections. I think we need to turn it on its head. And instead of saying, keep it quiet, keep it under wraps, keep it down, that what he would say to us was, let it out. Let people know that you're willing to worship God. Let people know that you believe that this is something worth doing, worth spending your time in, worth giving yourself to. I think he would say to us, don't go into your closets. But go out in the streets and live your faith in a public kind of way. That's the invitation I think he would give. When Jesus says, I have come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, I think what he really meant was, I came to enflesh it. I came to incarnate it. I came to show you what this law looks like. By how I live, by how I love, by how I treat the stranger, by how I respond to those who are in need, by how I walk through this life, I've come to show you that this law is not a boundary that keeps us good from the outside, but it is a transformation that causes us to do good from the inside. I've come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Or I've come not to make the law a bondage to you, but to make you willing, obedient followers of the law. I've come because of this relationship, because of this love, to make it so that you don't have to ask, should I follow the law or not? Because your heart says, I want to follow the law. I want to live that life of love. I want to be in relationship with God and with my neighbor the way Christ was. That's what I want to do. And I need help in knowing how I can do that. What is the loving thing? It's setting anger aside. It is setting predatory thoughts aside. It is setting retaliation aside. It is honoring the covenants that we make, even when they get hard. And it is worshiping God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. It is giving ourselves. Jesus says, I don't want you to follow the law because it's the law. I want you to follow the law because that's what you want to do. Because of the love that is within you. Because of the transformation that has taken place. Because of the new person that you are. Because you have learned to see the world the way I see it. Because I have become your vision. I have become your wisdom. And now all you want to do is love. Is serve, is heal, is help, is build community, is be in relationship, is be connected, is to be built up and to be whole. I've come, he says, not to abolish the law, but to make it alive in you as it was alive in me. I've come not to press the law on top of you like a weight, but to help you do it. That's what he said. Yeah. Okay, in the end, I could have shortened this whole passage down to a Nike slogan. Just do it. This loving thing. Loving the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Just do it. Because that's where joy is. That's where wholeness is. That's where contentment is. That's where the good life is. That we're all seeking after. Just do it. Because you'll find opportunities, refreshment. You find yourself being built up, not worn away in service to the law, but made more whole. Reverend, I like to come to church because I don't have any choice. Maybe that's an external law her mom makes her. Or maybe it's because she just can't think of doing anything else but gathering together with the people of God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.